Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, where we've got at least 3 months of previously aired shows there in the archive. Also, sign up for our podcast. We're on Google Play and Apple Podcast app. Search Steve Jones Show, hit the subscribe button, and we drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet after we air them live on WKOK. And Steve will be live in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few. Sunbury Motors, Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So we will have our first high school football roundtable playoff edition next half hour. The Chief Dave Ritchie will be with us. We'll break down the Shikellamy-Jersey Shore matchup, District 4 Quad A semifinal tomorrow night here on WKOK. Airtime 6:30, kickoff at 7 from Thompson Street Stadium. And in the other District 4 Quad A semifinal, Midwest at Sewens Grove, the Snyder County Showdown. Second straight year those teams will face off against each other in the semifinals. And that'll be on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Game day will be on at 6, kickoff at 7. And in District 4 Triple A, quarterfinals are tomorrow night. Lewisburg will be traveling to Warrior Run, the first ever playoff game hosted by the Warrior Run defenders, and their first winning season, 13 years, coming into tomorrow night's game with a record of 6-4. Greg Wetzel, Justin Michaels will have that on 100.9 The Valley tomorrow night. We'll hear from Greg in just a moment, actually next half hour in the roundtable, and our Sewens Grove Seals football stat man, the Z-Man, Zach Schauer, is also joining us in the roundtable like he has all throughout the season. And we'll finish out today's show with our weekly college and pro football picks. Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, will check in from Connecticut. Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus, scheduled to join us tomorrow. Also on tomorrow's show, last Thursday, Matt Catrillo had a chance to go to Bucknell Basketball Media Day in Soika Pavilion, had a chance to talk with men's head basketball coach Nathan Davis, and also on the women's coaching staff, Kelly Mazzani, the legendary Montoursville High player, one of the greatest Penn State women's basketball players in the history of the program. Went on to a great run in the WNBA. She is now a coach. She has been coaching in the PSAC out at IUP, now at Bucknell on their coaching staff with their new crew. So we will hear from Kelly and from Coach Davis tomorrow.
Yes. And I want to thank Matt Catrillo for the great job he did on both interviews, getting all that done for us. Matty, as usual, did a first-class job, and I appreciate that and appreciate him very much.
Me too. And actually, Matt will be filling in for me tomorrow night on Sunbury Motors game night. So he'll be in studio over on Eagle 107 taking care of the Seals game, then he'll be on for game night tomorrow night.
Terrific.
Yeah, it'll be my first Friday night off during the high school football season in 6 years tomorrow night.
Wow.
So I was hoping to get to Jersey Shore to hang with the Chief and with Kevin for the first half, but I'll be getting ready for my trip to Pittsburgh on us before pre-dawn Saturday morning, as we'll be getting out to Steelers Colts on Sunday.
The game's Sunday.
Yes.
You're going Saturday.
Yes.
So obviously you're hitting establishments.
Well, nephew in tow. We'll be hitting some establishments, but they'll be family-friendly oriented establishments.
So. Great. I'll look up all the Applebee's for you.
Thank you. They're running a great special now on boneless wings, so I would think there's probably one nearby the hotel.
You know how to live.
Hey, some guys like Wendy's, others prefer Applebee's, you know. So who'd have thought a team with a 0.1% chance of winning a World Series title back on May the 28th, 1931 record, would win a World Series championship?
Well, when you have quality starting pitching, obviously the World Series MVP was Steven Strasburg, and you get a guy like Scherzer, and you know, in the offseason you sign a Patrick Corbin, you take the money that you were going to allocate to Bryce Harper and you bring in Patrick Corbin. And you have Anibal Sanchez, who, by the way, is a good postseason pitcher. You have a shot. You have a shot. And I think that's the important part. They gave themselves a shot. The question is whether they could generate enough offense to back up that pitching. And to their credit, they did. And then, you know, they had the same record as the Astros from May 28th on. And
so you have something in common with Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch. You'd be the two people in the room that would have the lowest heart rate per beats per minute. Okay. I mean, that's been the gauge and temperature of that skipper all this year. It just doesn't let nothing too high gets the best of him. But I guess that's just the burning question. It's just going to linger for quite some time. You see Gerrit Cole in the bullpen. Why didn't you bring in Gerrit Cole? Why did you take Greinke out when you did?
I would not have gone to Gerrit Cole at that point. Zach Greinke's working on a one-hit shutout. Okay, I'm sorry, but he's showing me he's pitching really well. Now, you know, he gets the first out, a rather benign grounder to short. Nothing wrong with that. Then he does take him out. I would not have taken him out when I did. I would have seen if he had the ability to work out of the inning. Right? And then I would have gone to Cole to start the next inning. Because my guy, in this case Greinke, is pitching pretty well. And by the way, my guy is also showing a low heart rate out there. That's how I view it. And so I would not fault A.J. Hinch at all, because I'm not all for making moves for the sake of making moves, and I'm not for making moves for the sake of appeasing people. I try to look at the situation. I'm sitting there watching the game last night, and he goes out for, what, the seventh inning? I'm thinking to myself, good, I'd send him out too. What has he shown me so far? Has he shown me trouble? No, you're allowed to make a mistake. He made a mistake. You know, it was a solo home run. If you're going to give up a home run, it better be a solo shot, and that's what he did. Taking him out, now that, to be frank with you, I don't know if I would have taken him out. That's the only question I would have had. I would have let him continue a couple more batters, because I think he earned the right through performance that he had a really good chance of getting the next couple of batters. That's the only thing I would say about that. Bringing in Cole to start? No. That's not a sure thing. Cole's pitched in relief one time in his career. So an assumption is being made that if you go to said starter is going to be tremendous. We don't know. What's the track record of bringing Gerrit Cole out of the bullpen in the middle of a game a couple days after pitching? I don't know. There is no track record.
True, but you throw caution to the wind since it's game number 7. Case in point, the Giants a couple of years ago when they'd bring in Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, but they
I know that's a completely different scenario.
Right. But they didn't have Zach Greinke on the mound throwing a one-hitter into the seventh inning. And I also think you want to bring Cole in when you're starting an inning, which means he's properly warmed up. It's a different warm-up for a starter as opposed to a reliever. So you don't want to hurry him because that's not how he warms up. There's a lot of factors that go into this. If Greinke was not pitching as well as he was pitching, and look, Greinke was pitching well. I'd be sitting there saying, I really don't want to make a move here. He's doing fine. I think Greinke was a better option at that moment than Cole because he's already into the flow of the game and pitching well, and he was a better option than a reliever. I'd have given him a couple more batters to see if he could get home, then bring Cole out for the eighth inning. I'm just saying that's how I would have approached it, and that's how I thought about it when I was watching it last night. That's how I thought about it. I mean, and you don't want to panic in a situation like that. When you panic in situations, that's how you end up and continue to stick with, like, the interim tag. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. The playoffs tomorrow night, we're going to talk about in our roundtable. And Shikellamy's going into the playoffs, by the way, with some momentum, which is really terrific.
Very much so. After an 0-5 start, finishing the back end of the regular season 4-1.
Yeah, I mean, no question.
The Jersey Shore will see a different Shikellamy team this time around tomorrow night for sure. I know Chief will agree on that.
And he'll say the same old play-by-play guy that doesn't like going there. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, he'll.
He's not welcome with open arms there.
No.
Right? Same thing happened at Maddie's. All right. Oh, that's not funny.
Halloween a day late. Maybe go in incognito, wearing costume into the stadium tomorrow night. His way to get through the gates.
I have 18 different jokes and lines for that I'm not going to use.
Yeah. Keep them on the shelf. They'll sound fresh later.
And that's the whole key.
Yeah.
Being fresh.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Dick Girardi is going to join us on the show on the Breeders' Cup, and Ben Leskowitz from Pro Football Focus on the show tomorrow, along with the aforementioned interviews with Nathan Davis and Kelly Mazzani. I listened to what Kelly was saying. It said, yeah, she called Andy Troy and it said, man, do I ever appreciate you? And Andy Troy was a terrific coach when she was here. And I think it's to me personally, it's awful that Andy's out of coaching. She should be coaching. But different topic, different day. But maybe one day we'll talk about that too. There are a lot of things that maybe one day we'll talk about. it's. Jay Billis came out and was rather adamant against the NCAA on the image and likeness. We'll get into that at 4:06. We have the roundtable. We got Kebo today. We'll get into that at 4:06 and talk about name, image, and likeness and what he had to say about it. Now, he's always been highly critical of the NCAA, so he's been consistent on that. And it doesn't mean he's all wrong. It doesn't mean he's all right either. I think, you know, it's going to be a question of how much he's right versus, but he's not completely wrong, take my word. But we'll get into some of his comments. Money is Money's interesting because money makes the world go round. There was that old saying, money isn't everything, but it's, quote, way ahead of what's in second place. money makes a difference in everything. And, you know, there you are, either sitting at home or you're in a business right now listening to us, or you're driving in the car listening to us. All of you have bills, every one of you. And you want to make sure that every single month you can take care of it. Keep yourself somehow on the plus side of life. Doesn't happen unless you have the money to do it. Athletic departments are huge business. No getting around it. Penn State, when you look at Penn State, is a $100 million plus business. 31 sports. And fortunately, they can keep the operation and the 31 sports because of the size of the television contracts, because of the size of the bowl contracts, because of the size of the NCAA tournament money, because of the size of radio contracts, you know, because of ticket sales, because of donations. They can keep everything going and give student-athletes the best opportunity. Also remember that there are also various ways to spend your money. And I'll give you an example where Penn State has spent its money wisely. Penn State has invested in, through donations, but also obviously some athletic department funds, in the Morgan Academic Center, creating an educational environment for study, advice, collaboration, and the payoff has been Penn State this month announced a record-setting 91% graduation rate. So there's a case where money is being put to really good use that also is a part of the mission of what intercollegiate athletics happens to be. There's no question that when you get 110,669 to a football game, there's a lot of money being generated that night. The game was on ABC. The game was sold out plus. There's a lot that went into it that night. But the money is being spread around. The one area, and I've been very consistent about this, I don't mind what solution they come up with, but whatever solution it is, it can't be something that leads to the cutting of scholarships or sports. Everybody deserves the opportunity.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our high school football roundtable. As I sit here in State College, we have a tornado watch. With that, let's go to Kissimmee, Florida, and Greg Wetzel.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
And how is everything in beautiful Kissimmee?
92 and very humid.
Very
sun's
humid.
Out, beautiful day.
We have a tornado watch. Okay, great. Terrific. So, let's get to the matchup. It's going to be Lewisburg, the 5 seed, playing at Warrior Run.
Right.
When you lose a critical player, you have to somehow make up for it. You have to somehow adjust. Where have they tried to adjust, and has it been too much at times to overcome?
Yeah, I think last week it was too much to overcome. What they tried to do is distribute the ball instead of giving it to one guy like Max Warners. They also put the onus to succeed on their quarterback, Nick Shedleski. And he's done a great job. But, boy, last week he was just under pressure. He was sacked 6 times last week. But he threw for over 300 yards. So he had a good game throwing the ball, but he was just constantly under pressure. And I think teams are starting to be aware, hey, Lewisburg isn't as effective running the ball as they've been in the beginning of the year and last year. So let's put 5-6 guys, put pressure on the quarterback and see if he can beat us.
All right.
It's successful so far.
I think, Greg, you and I would agree it's actually the right way to go. It's the right way to go.
It is.
Can they play defense well enough to compensate?
You know, that's a great question, Steve. What Justin and I have noticed the last 2 weeks, they play great defense in the first half, and then they start to wear down because they're having so many guys going both ways. It's late in the season. Kids are tired, and they've been wearing down, and they've been those 2-yard, 3-yard runs have been turning into 6-yard, 10-yard runs, and that's really hurt them, put them in bad field position. They don't drive the ball 50, 60 yards anymore. They're looking at 80, 90-yard drives, and it's just put them behind the eight ball.
All right, so let's get into now Warrior Run.
Mm-hmm.
To win this game in advance, A, what do they have to key on with this team? And then B, what will be the factors to swing it?
Yeah, it's going to come down to Lewisburg's run defense against Warrior Run's run defense. If Lewisburg can run for 100 yards, I think they have a really good chance of winning this game because Warrior Run's going to then have to play them honestly. And Warrior Run is a run-first team. They will throw the ball. They have 2 good athletes to catch the ball, but they have 2 really good running backs also. So if Lewisburg can hold Warrior Run, I think if Lewisburg can hold Warrior Run to 150 yards or less rushing, they'll be in good shape. But again, will they wear down? That's the key. Now, tomorrow night it's supposed to be very cool. That might help them.
Yes.
So, yeah, hopefully that will help Lewisburg. But the other thing, too, Steve, is they've lost 3 games going into the playoffs. They're now thinking what's going to happen next, that we're going to, you know, that we're not going to win, we're going to lose. They're trying to avoid making the breaks instead of trying to make their breaks. You know, they're playing a little defensively is what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, I mean, what happens is that your margin of error becomes so thin.
That's right.
And you can go along, go along, go along, go along, okay, and then one thing happens.
That's exactly right. One thing happens, and that's what happened against Mifflinburg. They drove down the field, got inside the 5-yard line, fumbled the ball. They got the ball back, drove down the field, missed a field goal. Now, all of a sudden, instead of being ahead 10-0, maybe 14-0, it's 0-0 time. That's the ball. Field goes ahead 7-0. And it just sets the tone for the game.
All right, when the season is over,
pardon?
I'd like to have you, when the season is over at some point,
yes.
I'd like to have you back on the show, and I'd like to have a couple of us. I want to talk about the state of high school football, because now you're having games forfeited, you're having starters sitting, that happened with Baldiglieri and Bellefonte. They sat their starters because they thought the district game was going to be more important than their rivalry game.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about the state of the game in the state and the area. That's what I'd like to do.
And Steve, this will be this will be a timely discussion. I'll bring this up. Out of all the games that are going on this weekend in District 4, there's only one game with two teams on the field at the same time that have records above 500, and that's Sayre and Muncie, one of the semifinals tomorrow night in Class A. Other than that, at least one team has a below 500 record going up against the other team.
Wow. Ooh. Yeah, no, that would be great. Sean can set that up, and I'll be glad to be down there.
I appreciate that, Greg. We appreciate you a lot. Good luck this week.
Hey, thank you. Take care, Steve.
Thanks so much. And Dave, when this happens, we'd like to include you in the conversation too and get your thoughts about this. And probably if we can somehow get Kevin to come on too, because you guys are around this all the time. I'm not going to get into it now because we've got games to talk about, but I think it's when the dust settles, I'd like to get everybody back in so we can talk about this, because this has been a very odd season in a state, in an area that's very proud about its high school football, yet this, I think it's taken some body blows because of how things have played out this year.
Oh, I'd agree with you 100%. I really, really would. I came from the age that you had to be 500 in order to go to the playoffs. And I think that's something that the PIAA has overlooked, that maybe that's something they should go back to, but then they don't fill enough stadiums on those Friday nights. So, I'd happily come over. Yep.
Well, you know what? And, you know, if a coach came to me and said, we're going to sit you, we have a playoff game next week, me, I said, get out of here. Not sitting.
Yeah.
Get away from me. Right?
It's yes. Yep, you're right.
And so I don't get that attitude, but again, we'll save that for that show.
Okay, sounds good.
They've won three of their last four, Shikellamy has, going into this playoff game at Jersey Shore. Yes, they go in as the four seed, but they put themselves in a spot. What are the common threads that have allowed them to suddenly find that winning formula?
Well, they've played solid defense, you know, and when I say solid defense, when they needed to stop the other team, they did. Their special teams have really done well. Their punt coverage and their kickoff coverage is phenomenal, and they, you know, they a lot of times will put the other team in not the best field position in order to start their offensive sets. The other thing is they've got certain special plays. Big plays from several of the kids that we didn't expect. Nettles always is a threat to go, the distance, and also a threat to run kickoffs and punts back. But they've had a couple of other people that have done it. And the quarterback play, that's probably number one on my list with Drew Balestrini. Yeah, he's made some mistakes, but He's the fuel to the engine, and I mean that both physically and emotionally.
You mentioned he's made mistakes. Has he made fewer mistakes as the season's gone along?
Oh yes. Oh my gosh. If you looked at Drew last year and looked at him this year at this time, you wouldn't think they were the same quarterbacks. Just matured at, I guess we would call it, the knowledge of the game. And he's made, he made, once in a while you might throw a ball away that you think you're throwing it away and it gets intercepted, or you might not throw a ball away or out of bounds and you get sacked, but that happens in the heat of the game. But he's done very well. Against Shamokin, I mean, he told the kids when they were going for that touchdown, he says, we're going to score on this play, and they did. You know, it's just, I think, a good leadership role.
Right. That's a good point. Now, they've got Jersey Shore. Matchups mean everything.
Yeah, they do.
All right. So when you look at the matchups in this game, what makes it a tough task for Shikellamy? But at the same time, are there a couple of matchups that might be better now compared to a few weeks ago?
Well, the quarterback for Jersey Shore, Tanner Lorson, he's really a phenomenal player. He's got 2,316 yards passing, and he's rushed for 758 yards. So, you know, you can't not guard him against the run, and he's going to be a challenge for the linebackers. He's going to be a challenge for the defensive backs, and they do have a couple of solid runners. But in the last game, he pulled the ball out on running plays and sometimes went naked bootlegs and completely fooled the Braves. He's very good at hiding that football, and he's a good athlete. I put him at 6 foot. They say he's 5'10", but he's 185 pounds, and he runs like a deer. So that's the one matchup I would say the quarterback for Jersey Shore versus the entire Shikellamy defense is going to be something the Braves are going to have to try to win. They're going to have to. I'm sure. I know Coach Ermert, who's running the defense. I know that he's probably watched the game that they played before, and he's probably seen several Jersey Shore games since then. But you know, he tries to come up with a scheme, and if the kids, and again, here's a big point: if the kids execute what they're told to do, and they follow their keys and follow their jobs, it makes it a lot easier to try to stop Larson. It really would. That's the one negative against the Braves. I think the matchup that is in the Braves' favor is the fact that they lost 39-6, and Jersey Shore remembers that team. They remember the team that Jersey Shore in three possessions ran one play for a touchdown, two plays for a touchdown, and three plays for a touchdown to go up 21-0. And they might be thinking the Braves are, maybe that same team, and they're not. They're much more confident. The same athletes are there. It's just that I think mentally they're better prepared. Another thing that I made mention of, I said in the broadcast to Kevin last time up at Jersey Shore, how did anybody beat this team? I mean, they were so good on defense. They just stopped the Braves' run. They stopped the passing attack. And the Braves went out of their standard wing tee and went to spread. And just like that, they moved the ball down the field and scored. So maybe that's something that Jersey Shore, it might be one of their Achilles' heels, all right? The fact that you spread them out, they can't put everybody in the box and stop the run and put a lot of rush on the quarterback. So that's just my opinion, Steve.
Right. No, I completely understand what you're saying. Dave, appreciate it, and appreciate the fact your willingness to come back and talk about that topic a little bit later in the year.
Hey, Steve, I got one more thing. Kelly Mazzante. I was coaching girls basketball when she was playing at Montoursville, and I had the privilege of watching her score 1,000th point against us and her 3,000th point against us. And I saw her score 1,000th point against Michigan when she was in college. So she is the best girls basketball player that I've ever seen and coached against. So I'm glad that Bucknell has her. That's a real positive.
The real positive. And you know what? She's going to end up being a terrific coach.
Yes.
And I think this experience at Bucknell is going to be invaluable to her, and Bucknell's lucky to have her.
Yep. I plan on Bucknell girls games are exciting games to go to, and now with her there, you know, it's going to be interesting.
It will be. Dave, appreciate that so much. We'll have
her
on the show tomorrow with Matt Cotrillo.
Thank you.
Zach Showers joins us now. Sealands Grove and Midwest will be scoring off on a 2-3. All right, so Zach, we talk about how teams change over time. What's now a plus for Sealands Grove that maybe a month ago was not a plus?
That's a good question.
That's what we do here, Zach. We ask the good ones.
Honestly, I would actually say the running game is better than what it was before. The defense has been consistent. We've talked a lot about that. Especially in the wins, the running game has been able to be established a little bit, and especially in the three of the games of the first five that were losses for Sealands Grove, they couldn't really get much going. So I would say the offensive line is playing a little bit better than what they were a few weeks ago, and the defense just continues to be consistent.
And so now the matchup with Midwest. Now, matchups mean everything. What do you sense of the positive matchups for Sealands Grove, and then what could be possibly the fly in the ointment?
Well, as far as positive matchups, I think one of the biggest things is just the schedule that Sealands Grove's played. Sealands Grove will be the best team that Midwest has played all season.
Right.
And overall, Sealands Grove's a little deeper across the board. The biggest matchup, I think, in looking at Midwest strength, is they have a running back, Hunter Wolfie, that has 900 yards on the season rushing. And Sealands Grove has been able to really shut down pretty much everybody outside of Southern and Montoursville on the ground. And even in some of those games, they've played tougher than what a lot of teams have played against them. So I think Sealands Grove's, especially front eight with that 3-5 defense, that has the ability to cause a lot of teams fits, especially as aggressive as they are If you don't have an offensive line that can communicate and know where to pick up guys, I think Selinsgrove has potential to wreck Midwest's running game a little bit, and especially with the way the wind is supposed to be tomorrow night, it's going to be tough to throw the ball for either team, at least early in that game. So I think that's an advantage, just the Selinsgrove defense going up against the Midwest rushing attack. As far as concerns, this is a game that I think last year Selinsgrove was also in a pretty similar position. They have a little bit more momentum going this year. And it was a game I think most people thought was going to be a little bit of a blowout and a runaway game. And Selinsgrove turned the football over. They gave up a fumble recovery in the end zone and a safety. And just like that, they were down 9-0 against a team that this was their Super Bowl, you know, first year in the program and playing against the school down the road. This is a game where I don't know if I'd call it a trap game, but it's also a game where you have to worry a little bit if focus is going to be there. Since the week, I think week three loss to Jersey Shore, everybody has had this game or next week's potential game against Jersey Shore circled on the calendar. And sometimes that's pretty tough with high school kids to make sure they're focused. So I think it's a game where if Selinsgrove can establish some things early and not give momentum to Midwest, they're going to be fine. But if it's you give up a couple turnovers and a defensive touchdown and allow them to establish and get some confidence, then you're in for a little bit more of a game than what you might think on the surface.
I think it's remarkable Midwest has done as well as they have considering it's the second year of the program. I mean, I give them credit where credit's due.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've had a lot of buy-in. I know it was like this last year, but it's fun to have that rivalry of Selinsgrove that's been established, you know, for almost 100 years now. And then you have Midwest in year two. And there's a lot of action on social media and just people that are excited. And a lot of we've seen it a lot on our Facebook page where people are saying, I went to Midwest, but now I'm a SEAL, and vice versa. I went to Selinsgrove, but now I have kids playing at Midwest. So it should be a fun atmosphere, hoping the weather calms down a little bit and we can get a good crowd tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Hey, Zach, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
Midwest and Selinsgrove will be on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Warrior Run and Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley and Shikellamy at Jersey Shore on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.